You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanza.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Woo! Yeah! How you guys doing?
All right, I am super pumped. We have a fun show planned tonight, don't we?
That's right. Mike is ready to go. I'm ready to go. This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. It is our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we feel like talking about. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our patented sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what's going to hit you on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. Anything could come out of left field when we're discussing our topics. But you know what? You know, we're coming to the end of the year. The holidays are around.
It's the joyful holiday season.
So it's kind of, you know, somewhat predictable, but you know what? We have to do it. Why not?
We have to. What are we talking about, of course, Rich?
I think we should dedicate this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast as our official Christmas episode.
Ah, that sounds like a lovely idea.
Yeah. So that's right. It's time for our Christmas episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
I have so much Christmas cheer in me. I'm just so excited for the holiday season. Can you feel it, Rich?
Yes. Show me.
Can you feel it building up? There's just wonderment and joy and happiness everywhere, and the people are great, and people are getting gifts for each other, and they're being kind to each other. It's just the best time of year. You know what, Rich? I feel it welling up inside of me. I just think I have to sing a song.
Okay.
I think I'm going to do it.
All right. Go for it, Mike.
All right. I'm going to sing it. Are you ready?
Yeah.
What's this? What's this? There's music in the air. What's this? A voice sings oh so fair. What's this? I can't believe my ears. I must be dreaming. Wake up, guys. This isn't fair. What's this? What's this? What's this? There's something very wrong. What's this? Why are they singing songs? What's this? The home is filled with everybody laughing. Everybody seems so happy. Have I possibly gone daffy? What is this? What's this? They're setting up equipment inside a kitchen now. Computers and wires, there's happy faces all around. There's papers scattered all about. I can't believe these guys. Across my face, I feel a grin that's coming from inside. Oh look, what's this? They're setting microphones, they talk, why that looks so unique. Inspired, they're gathering around to hear a story, reading odd news, they're not liars. What's this? What's this? In here, they've got a little tree, how queer, and who would ever think, and why? They're all decked out in fruity festive gear, they've got Christmas songs to hear, and there's a smile on everyone. So now correct me if I'm wrong, this looks like fun, oh could it be I got my wish? What's this? Oh my, what now? Don't get upsetty. Now look, the story's already. No fools, no burdens here to bore and bother or bemoan them. Only little quirky sound bites playing from their soundboard. What's this? Xmas tunes and segments, there's surprises to be found. And in this show, there seems to be good feeling all around. Instead of cursing, I swear I can hear laughter in the air. The sound of Christmas fun is absolutely everywhere. Wacky, absurd, season's greeting is the word. I've never felt so good before. This empty space inside of me is filling up. I simply cannot get enough. I want it. It's the crispy noodle, but I've got to know. What is the show that I have found? What is this? A Christmas special?
We didn't need a full song and dance on this.
I thought you said that it was okay if I sung.
Yeah, but that was like a full 2 minutes. Where the hell did that come from?
I just, from my inner Christmas cheer, Rich. Don't you have any Christmas cheer?
Yeah, I got some, but
is this how it's going to play out? I'm going to be
I'm going to be like the jolly Christmas person. You're going to be like the Grinch.
No, I just,
Are you the Grinch that stole Christmas?
No, I actually did play the Grinch in an eighth grade play, but no.
He is the Grinch.
No, I'm not. All right. But wow, you went 2 minutes singing.
What can I say? Christmas is fun.
You're lucky I'm hungover. Okay. Now, let's get this to the meat and potatoes of this podcast, all right?
All right, let's get to the meat and potatoes, as you put it. I guess before we start, should we introduce our special guest?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Finally, after a semester in college, we finally have our associate producer, John Bruno, back here on the Chris Moodle podcast.
Woo! Hey, what's going on, guys?
Yeah, Bruno!
Now, as you guys know, John Bruno is my brother and our associate producer. Way back when, in the first couple episodes, he was here for a few of them. We called him one episode, remember?
Oh, yeah, that's right. We called him he was our first caller.
Yeah.
That he was forced our, him.
Yes, that we forced.
He called me, actually.
Yeah.
But now, finally, every week we have him do our Fantastic Four picks, which we'll be getting to in the sports sampler, but now he's actually here to do them with us.
Yeah, so you better back your picks up.
You got it.
Wow. All right.
All right. Wow. All right.
And speaking of sports, I guess we all know that we start every show here with a healthy helping of the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
Woo, sports! All right, and with the sports sampler, we actually have a couple of football headlines, so let's cue it up. It's time for some football talk.
It's motherfucking goddamn sons of bitch and fucking football.
But it's with a Christmas twist, especially for our first story. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We have just a really feel-good story about one of the best players in the league right now, Andre Johnson, wide receiver for the Houston Texans. Apparently, he's made a little Christmas tradition out of buying toys for children in need. And this year, they just mentioned it because of his extreme generosity for these kids. We have a short clip that just goes over this program that he does and what he does for these kids. I think it would be interesting to play it and to hear what he's all about.
All right, so let's play the clip. This is Andre Johnson helping out children during Christmas, right?
That's right. What better way to celebrate?
Yeah.
All right, so let's hear about Andre Johnson and his generosity.
For the seventh straight year, wide receiver Andre Johnson held his annual toy giveaway for a dozen children from Children's Protective Services. They were given 80 seconds to grab whatever toys they wanted throughout the store, and on top of that, Johnson provided each child with an entertainment and gaming system, as well as two games. When the final bill was tallied, Dre was lighter in the wallet by $17,352, but he was happy to do it.
It just gives them a chance to go through the store and get whatever they want in. You know, they don't have to ask nobody for it. You know, they don't, I mean, whatever they have on their Christmas list, they can pick up. So that's the reason why I do it. It's fun. It's fun for the kids. It's fun for me. It's something I enjoy, you know, seeing every year. So I just figure why not keep doing it.
That's nice.
Wow. $17,000 in toys for kids. That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, you know. I mean, and these are kids that really do need it, too.
I think it was Child Protective Services.
Yeah, so they obviously have broken families or something that prevents them.
Yeah.
From having, you know, a traditional family Christmas.
And it's nice just for them to get something that they want, you know?
Yeah. All in all, good story and very appropriate for our Christmas episode.
Very, very appropriate for the season, I think. So kudos to you, Andre Johnson, for being such a kind person. And, wow, $17,000. That's a lot of toys.
Yeah. It's a shame you're stuck on a very bad Houston Texans team.
Oh, God, I know. What happened to them this year? Nothing really changed. They just are not good.
They had a glimmer of false hope when they went 2-0, and then they lost 13 games in a row.
Ouch.
Yeah. Boy, that really could go down as one of the worst losing streaks ever.
Yeah, considering the year before, weren't they 12-4 or something?
Yeah,
something
they won
around
the
there?
Division. Yeah. They were trying to make the Super Bowl, and now...
And now look at them.
They're complete the other direction. They fired their head coach. Just not looking good for them. And Andre Johnson is actually having a good year too. He's a good year in his prime, just going to a pathetic 2-14 team.
Well, it's nice that he stuck around with them.
Well, 2-13, they haven't played the last game.
Ooh. Ooh. Well, maybe they'll have a shocker and they'll win the last one. Who knows?
Yeah. But as for this act of charity, we want to give props to Andre Johnson. Very nice.
Yeah. That's what the Christmas time is all about. Needless to say, though, we mentioned the Texans. I don't think that they'll be part of our weekly Fantastic Four pick.
No. So, you know what? Why don't we just launch right into that?
I think that's appropriate.
All right. It is time for our predictions on the four closest games of the NFL schedule for this week. It is time for the Fantastic Four picks. Yep, the Fantastic Four picks have pretty much been a staple for us this whole football season, and now we are entering the last week of the season.
That's right. It's the final week of the regular season before we head to the playoffs. What better way to start it off than with our own hometown Eagles? They're traveling to the dreaded Dallas Cowboys on Sunday in primetime game. Rich, what do you got?
The biggest headline, Romo is out for this game.
Ouch. Not good.
Yeah. On the other hand, they'll have Kyle Orton.
Ooh. Yeah. He's something.
He's decent. He was in for the Broncos before the whole Tebow mania took over.
Well, that's right.
That was the last time anybody ever heard of him, but now he'll be getting the start on Sunday. You know what? I'm going to be a homer.
Yeah.
I want the Eagles to win this one. They're going to be on the road. The Eagles have been good on the road. Cowboys have just, they haven't been good the last couple of games. They barely eked out that win against the Redskins.
Yeah, that's saying a lot.
So, you know what? I'm riding the gravy train. Go Eagles! Eagles win this and take the division. Come on!
Wow. Well, you know what? I got to say that I agree. Like you mentioned, Tony Romo is injured. The Cowboys have just been in a downward spiral. And, of course, historically, the past few years, they've been atrociously bad in December. Meanwhile, the Eagles have a QB that's on a hot streak. They have the leading rushing attack in the NFL and a defense that shocked the Bears. I think, Eagles fans, it's time to board the playoff train. Choo-choo! JB, what do you got?
All right. Wow. Well, just to change things up and keep things interesting, I will not pick the Eagles. I'm going to go with the Cowboys. Even though I'm an Eagles fan, I'm going to pick the Cowboys because Kyle Orton has beaten the Eagles before, even with his non-unique team or anything like that. And, I mean, anything can happen. It's, you know, a game before the playoffs, so I'm going to pick the Cowboys.
Wow.
That sucked. That's Mike's actual reaction.
Wow, JV with a shocker. You know, it's interesting having him here. He gives a unique perspective to his picks.
Yeah.
So why don't we get your pick on this one, JV? One of your AFC teams, I believe. We have the Ravens traveling to their division rival, the Cincinnati Bengals. What are you thinking, Jay?
I'm thinking the Ravens are going to bounce back from a very, very horrible loss to the Broncos, the worst loss that they have ever had at home by the most points, and I think they will beat their division rivals, the Bengals.
Wow. All right, then.
Wow.
Rich, what do you think?
I'm going to go with the Bengals. I say the Bengals are still going to play with 100%. None of the seedings have been determined yet in the AFC, really. And you know what? The Ravens, they've been playing all right, but they haven't been playing Super Bowl, champion quality like they have last year. I say the Super Bowl hangover hits them as well as me too. And, knocks them out here. I say Bengals win this one.
Well, I'm inclined to agree. The Bengals have a surprisingly good defense, better than the Ravens. They have a potent offense. They're playing at home. I think the Bengals take it. So. There we go. Two for the Bengals and one for the Ravens. But here we go. This is an interesting one. For the NFC North division, we have the Packers traveling to the Bears in an afternoon game. What do you think, Rich?
Okay. I'm going to just sum this up very quickly. Who's the quarterback for the Packers?
I think it's random guy number two.
Yeah. So I'm going to go with Bears.
All right, then. Short and sweet.
If the answer to that question is not Aaron Rodgers, the answer for whoever's going to win that game is not the Packers.
All right, JB, what do you think? Do you agree or disagree?
I'm going to have to go with the Bears, too, for the exact same reason.
I like this. Short and sweet. All right. Well, you know what? I'll wrap things up, and I'll say the Bears as well. Like you guys mentioned, no Rodgers, no win. So Bears all around, it seems. Our last game is an interesting game, battling for one of the wild card spots in the NFC. We have the 49ers traveling to Arizona to face the Cardinals. What do you guys think? JB.
I'm going with the 49ers. I think their offense is going to pull out a victory. The Cardinals have a good defense, but I still think it's going to be, 49ers offense is going to be too overwhelming for the Cardinals, and they will win their division and go on.
All right.
You don't mean the division, because the division.
I'm sorry.
Look at the wild card spot.
There you go. You're hungover too, right?
Right. Everybody is hungover.
We'll go with that. Everyone's drunk, all right? But I am going to go with the Cardinals on this one. The Cardinals have won 7 out of their last 8 games. They are on some kind of momentum kick right now, and they need this game in order to even have a shot at the playoffs. The Cardinals could actually win this game and finish 11-5 and miss the playoffs. So they need this win more than the 49ers, who they can pretty much fall ass backwards into the playoffs with their early amount of wins. I say Cardinals take this one.
Wow. Well, you know what? I'm a big believer of the Cardinals as well. They shocked everybody by beating the Seahawks. I think they're going to continue to ride that high and shock the 49ers as well. Whether they make it in the playoffs, we'll see. I think they need a couple of things to go right for them as well. As you mentioned, they could go 11-5 and still not make it, correct?
Yeah.
Well, we'll just see what they can do. So I guess that wraps it up for the Fantastic Four picks.
There you go. That's our picks for this week. Well, you know what? Since we ended on that game, can I bring up a random topic?
Sure, go for it.
What do you guys think of the current playoff system? Because, you know, I know Mike loves to hail it as the perfect system in the professional sports world. But we really could see the Cardinals go 11-5 and miss out on the playoffs. Do you think any change should happen if that does indeed happen? Or just say, bad luck, Cardinals, try again next year?
I think every once in a while there's a situation where you get something like this. I think the Patriots 1 year went 10-6 and they missed, or 11-5 and they missed the playoffs as well.
Yeah, that was the year Brady got hurt.
Right. Every once in a while, that does happen. I still think it's the most perfect playoff system, but again, it's not the perfect playoff
system.
Closest to perfection. Could they tweak it a little bit? Perhaps. Now how they would do it, that is, I haven't thought that far ahead. JB, what do you think about the playoff structure in the NFL right now?
Well, what would you do? Just have the top teams just go in instead of one from each?
I don't know, whatever you think. I mean, you could do that.
I think I like the continuity of having one from each division going into the playoffs or anything like that. Okay. That's just how I feel about it. I feel like they should keep the playoff structure the way it is, even though they may miss the playoffs. Work harder.
I did hear something, though. I think maybe you mentioned this to me about changing the seeding. Not the way that the playoff teams are determined, but the seeding of them.
Yeah.
So could you maybe go into depth on that?
There's a couple of NFL experts on the NFL Network that they keep popping up this change. That could be useful. You still keep 6 teams. You know, you pick 4 teams from the division winners and the 2 best non-division winners records, right?
Right, because that's the most fair way to do it, I think.
But then, after you determine those 6 teams, you reseed the playoff structure.
Okay.
So all because you win the division doesn't mean you get the home game. You get re-ranked after you make that pool of 6 in your conference.
That would be interesting, because you're rewarding teams then that have the better records, even though they didn't win their division outright.
Yeah. And that would help out the problem right now with the AFC, where we could see Kansas City finish 12-4 or
and
something.
What are they, like a 5th seed?
Yeah, and they're going to have to go on the road against the Colts, who they fell ass backwards into their
they just lucked into it.
Title.
Their division is horrible.
With Andrew Luck.
Yeah, with Andrew. Oh! They're lucky.
They had a Christmas gift.
Yeah. What's the point of winning the division then?
That's a good question. Should there still be an incentive for the division?
Why have the division? I mean, yeah, it makes it easier for playoff structures to have the division. It makes it easier for, you know, rivalries and everything like that. But in a sense, then there's no reason for having division winner.
Yeah, because then there would be no payoff.
Yeah, there would be no payoff. Well, you still make the playoffs. I mean, that's the payoff.
Yeah. But, yeah. I mean, the idea with the current system is that you automatically get a home game in the playoffs.
Right. I don't know. An interesting question. Maybe one that the NFL team owners need to look at for the upcoming seasons.
Yeah. And I think the fuel's going to be turned up if the Cardinals go 11-5 and miss out.
Yeah, like we talked about, you know, we've seen teams go 10-6 and miss out, but 11-5, that's
yeah,
11-5 teams should not be missing out.
I mean, how much more perfect can you get a team to go than 11-5? I mean, it's
that's very good in the NFL.
Yeah, and then in the same breath, you're looking at a division like the NFC North where the Packers could win with 8 wins, 7 losses, and a tie.
That damn tie. I hate
that
ties.
Pisses you off that more than the actual that, record.
No, it does. It does. Because technically they only played 15 games, which seems ludicrous to me. Just don't have the tie then. If you're not going to bother to count the game, don't have a tie. That's my belief.
Yeah.
See, but anyway, if we talk about ties, I'll get on a rant.
Yeah. See Mike's extensive background with ties. But so anyway, you just might want to keep an eye on the playoff structure and playoff news format, because I guarantee you it will be a discussion point among NFL experts, especially if we see the Cardinals miss out as an 11-5 team, or if we see one of these ridiculous lower teams make the playoffs in the AFC, because there's a ridiculous scenario where the Steelers could still make the playoffs at 8-8.
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
Yeah.
Well, one time the Seahawks went at 7-9.
Yeah, I mean, you can't say never. You know?
Yeah, that's right. You can't say never.
So, I mean, we'll see. If something ridiculous happens, keep an eye out, because then we're going to start hearing the rumor mill about playoff changes again and stuff like that.
Well, something to look forward to in the offseason, at least.
That's right. So there you go, our little taste of the sports world.
just a sampler of sports. JB, what's going on?
Guys, I believe they're from our long-range scanners, we have picked up an unidentified flying object traveling towards our positions very fast.
Wait a second. Let me see this readout.
What the hell are you guys doing? Long range scanners. What is this? A freaking battleship?
Didn't know we had
I'm rustling my papers. I need to look at this. Yes.
What the hell are you guys doing?
The longitudinal terminal velocity of the equidistance trajectory of the object is moving quite fast. You're right.
Houston, we've had a problem.
Is that what's tuning in right now?
Yeah, that's what we're picking up on the scanners.
Oh, great, good, excellent.
Do you think this is something to worry about, JB?
I have no idea.
All right then. Why are you monitoring the communications array then?
You have a communications
Because you told me
array?
To.
And JB's going, I didn't. This wasn't in the job description.
Yeah, we list that right under assistant producer.
Assistant producer says monitor communications array for the Crispy Noodle headquarters, which is our kitchen / dining room.
Exactly. With the communications array.
With the communications array, yeah. People don't, it's right behind the stove. You like pull it out and there's like a whole secret bunker in there. People don't know it.
Excellent.
Yeah, exactly.
So, okay, we apparently have an unnamed visitor.
I guess so. Well, we'll have to see what the radar says later in the program.
That's right. And someone go get me a cup of coffee, because I can't look at the radar without my cup of coffee.
Of course.
Everyone knows that.
Yes. Yeah, I don't remember the line.
It's all right, but you remember what I'm talking about, so good.
It's baseballs.
Yes, excellent.
Yes, of course.
Good job, Mike.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. All right, so with that news bulletin from the desk of Bruno, I think we'll take a minute to look over that, and we'll take a commercial break. But we've got some more Christmas news in the entertainment entree. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We're going to take a look, as we did during Halloween, we're going to take a look at our favorite Christmas movies this time. We're going to go over some crazy Christmas traditions. What's that all about?
No, not with us.
No, we never do anything crazy.
No. So stick around. We'll be right back. This is the Chris Mutual Podcast Christmas episode.
Woo! Woo! Christmas!
Christmas!
Attention business owners, website owners, event promoters, or anyone looking to promote your product. The Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network is the perfect way to spread the word of your business around the world. That's right. You can advertise at our network and be played on all of our shows at rates that are so cheap, it's a no-brainer. For more information, contact Bay Ragney at bayragney@gmail.com to keep your business driven, stay driven with Totally Driven Entertainment.
Chrissy Biasello, the obnoxious personality from season 4 of MasterChef, now has her own business called The Rotund Chef. You can hire Chrissy to be a private chef. She also does in-home cooking demonstrations one-on-one for you or for you and your friends. If that wasn't enough, she also does catering as well. You may love her or you may hate her, but you will definitely want to cook like her. The Rotund Chef. Look for The Rotund Chef on Facebook for more details. And don't forget to listen to her new show, Fork Off with Chrissy Biasello, every Monday night on the Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network.
It's time to feel the chill in the air, not just outside, but inside as well at the Springfield Ice Skating Rink. We offer lessons, ice rentals, parties, and we are also available for fundraisers. We're also open for public skating every Friday and Saturday from 8 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. and Sundays from 2 to 3:30 p.m. That's the Springfield Ice Skating Rink, 400 West Sproul Road in Springfield, PA in Delaware County. Go to SpringfieldIceRink.com for more details.
Calling all comic book fans. Do you collect comics? Did you ever collect comics? Do you think your children might like reading comic books? Do you even know they still print real, paper, non-digital comic books? Well then visit the Pirates of Ontario Street Comics in Philadelphia. We have a massive collection of comic books, action figures, trading cards, and much more. We have one of the largest stocks of back-issue comics in the area. We bag and board every new comic book at no extra charge. Our store is voted the best comic book shop in the 2013 PHL 17 Hot List Contest. Part of the movie Unbreakable is filmed in our store. We are open 7 days a week. Ontario Street Comics is located at 2235 East Ontario Street in the Port Richmond section of Philly. Our phone number is 215-288-7338. Type in the words Ontario Comics Philadelphia to check out our wacky stores page on Facebook.
We do football and movies and video games. Rodman and Sausage and Odd News Insane. And then you say, why do I listen to these guys?
The Crispy Noodle Podcast is a very crazy show.
Oh, yeah.
And if you ever listen, you would know it doesn't blow.
Oh no.
We do Fantastic Four picks
weekly,
and we counted down movies,
64 of them.
We always have a sampling of clips from Mr. Busey. It all happened one winter day. Rich called up Mikey. We should do a podcast, yay! Mikey said, I guess okay. Then how we started laughing as we started recording.
Whee!
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Thank you all for listening.
Woo! Wow. And we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That was my mom singing backing vocals with me on a.
Wow, you really took this whole.
I was into the whole Christmas thing and doing like songs and stuff. So.
You said last week, you know, after the show we recorded, you're like, oh, I'll make a Christmas song, and I'm like, oh, so you make one Christmas song? No, Mike is like a smorgasbord of Christmas songs he's made.
Four.
Well, it's still a lot as far as I'm concerned.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
I guess I should have mentioned after the first one. The first one was, of course, a rendition of What If from The Nightmare Before Christmas, performed by yours truly. And the one that you just heard is Crispy the Crazy Podcast, a parody of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Crispy
the Crazy Podcast, yeah.
I think we're going to rename the podcast. Wow.
Yeah, and that was a duet with my mom. And we got two more for later in the show.
Oh my gosh. Uh-oh. Yeah. The fun continues.
The fun never stops on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, Rich.
That's right. And you know what? Speaking of the fun never stops, should we get into our next segment?
I think that's a wise decision.
Well, then let's do it. It is time for the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
Cheeseburger and a smoked a crack.
Watching JB's face through all that is amazing.
Yeah,
because he's not here for the clips and stuff.
No, usually. So, yeah, I mean, you've been out of the game for a while as our associate producer.
Was that a recorder?
Well, yeah, yes. At the end of the entertainment entree bit. Yeah,
yeah,
that was a recorder. I think that guy was had asthma too, because he almost was out of breath by the end of that. Yeah.
It wasn't even that long of a note either. You learned to play the recorder in grade school, didn't you, JB?
I did. It was required.
It was required?
It was required.
That was one of the major building blocks to a successful life in the future.
We did too. We had to.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't learn how to play the recorder.
Really?
Yeah. It was, but my grade school was like dirt poor. And so
we went to the same grade school.
Yeah, but you.
Whoa!
For 2 weeks, I was a musician.
For 2 weeks, Bruno lived the high life of the rock star.
Yeah, he was living in the fast lane, being a famous jazz recorder player.
Yep, that recorder was going to get him, you know, money and girls and everything.
That was his plan to get out of this one horse town.
Yep, and
but it all fell apart.
Yep, and then he got addicted to cocaine.
Wow.
That is untrue.
He went from playing the recorder to doing cocaine in sixth grade.
Yep, it wasn't easy. But that's the way it goes in the tough Hollywood
Ambler
musical world.
Ambler musical.
Ambler.
I do cocaine!
That was his official press conference.
I do cocaine!
Wow.
I will look for you. I will find you.
I do cocaine!
You had hitmen after you?
Yep, he probably did.
Or was he the hitman?
All that coke money was too big.
I'd like to see you try and buy coke with a grade schooler's, like, milk money.
Yeah, you know, he kept asking your dad for allowances.
Yeah. Can I have $150 for milk? How much chocolate milk do you buy, boy? It only costs 50 cents.
I'm a growing boy. Don't judge me.
Oh, wow. All right.
Enough rambling on Bruno's coke past.
You know what, though? I think it's appropriate that you played a clip from a great movie, Taken, with Liam Neeson, right?
Yeah, and then it was mashed with, I do cocaine.
And that was, of course, mashed with the cocaine.
I do cocaine!
But our first segment, of course, is to discuss some of our favorite Christmas movies of all time.
Yes.
Being that it's the Christmas season, I just thought it was appropriate that we should go over some of the classics that we grew up with as kids that we still continue and enjoy to watch to this very day. Why not?
That, and it's appropriate for the entertainment entree because we cover movies in this part.
Of course.
And should I get started?
Sure. What's your one of your favorite Christmas movies?
There's a lot of Christmas movies that come to mind. But the one that I always go back to in my childhood, in my adolescence, in my life as an adult, one movie I will always watch at Christmas is A Christmas Story.
Yeah, but what is that? It's a major award.
A major award?
Shucks, I wouldn't know, Dad. It looks like a lamp.
Well, it's a lamp, you nincompoop, but it's a major award.
I want it.
Everything about that movie, from the iconic BB gun that he wants to the iconic leg lamp
that
father cherishes in, as a major award in our sound clip.
There's so many great moments from that movie. So many quotable moments. One of my favorite moments is the bunny outfit. It's just outlandish.
That is so ridiculous. But you know what? Probably everyone had an aunt like that.
Yeah, yeah.
The most embarrassing gift ever.
Everybody gets that gift that you just go, it doesn't even have to be embarrassing. You just get and you go, why would they think that this would be a good gift for me? You know?
Yeah. Hey, Bruno, guess what you're getting for Christmas?
What might that be?
Fish harpoon. Now let's move on to the next movie.
He's not kidding. He got you a fish harpoon.
It's out in the car.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a major award.
He couldn't bring it in because...
Yeah, what is that? It's a major award.
He couldn't bring it in because there was a fish stuck to it too. He went fishing beforehand.
Yeah. So, yeah. Don't worry. You'll get it after the show's over. Okay. But yeah, I love that movie. TNT does the 24-hour?
I think it's either TBS? TNT or TBS.
One of the channels.
One of the T channels. Yeah. Just look it up.
Yeah. all you gotta do is punch through the channels and you'll find it, okay?
Look, if you can't find it on...
Punch the keys, for God's sake!
Sean Connery, help me!
Punch the keys, for God's sake!
If you can't find A Christmas Story on TV between Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, you're not looking hard enough. It's on for 24 hours straight. You can't miss it.
Punch the keys, for God's sake!
Or Sean Connery will come help you.
But no, A Christmas Story is one of my favorites. I have it on DVD. I don't know why, because it's on 24 hours throughout Christmas. I always watch it a couple of times at least, you know, just having the TV on. One of my favorites, though, has got to be, and this is just going to come out from left field. You guys will never guess this, but I've always loved The Muppets Christmas Carol.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Really obscure, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I did not think you were going to go that
route. I watched it as a kid, and I just thought it was fun. I like the story of the Christmas Carol. It's cool. You know, it goes to Christmas past and present and future. Just an interesting concept. Now that I'm older, I can appreciate it. But as a kid, I just loved the Muppets. I loved the singing. I loved, you know, it had this, like, really cool story with these ghosts. And it's just stuck with me ever since.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's one that my parents got me hooked into when I was a kid. We watched it every single year, right, JB?
That's right, we do.
Yeah. What about you? What's one of your favorite Christmas movies?
One of my favorite.
There's a lot to choose from, I know. It's actually a big category when you think
about
it.
I'm surprised nobody picked National Lampoon's Christmas.
Oh, yeah, okay. Of course. We're the Griswolds!
Yeah.
Or Jingle All the Way.
Yes!
Schwarzenegger, right?
You just had to say that, didn't you?
It's turbo time. Oh, wait, and that gives us our cookie clip. I forgot. Yeah.
I know. That's what I was hoping you would play.
Howard, excuse me, but your wife's cookies are out of this world.
What? Who told you can eat my cookies?
Mm. Oh, these cookies.
Put that cookie down now.
Yeah. Put the cookie down now.
No, Jingle All the Way is another good one. Just today, I just happened to catch parts of Home Alone on TV. I never really thought of that as a Christmas movie, but it definitely is.
Oh, it is.
But watching it when you're older, you're going, God, those are awful parents. They're the worst parents ever. They forget their kid at home.
Yeah, I'm sure that must happen with the bigger families.
You know, I don't know.
When you're, what's that reality show, the 23 and Counting or whatever?
23 and Counting?
Whatever the BS is.
I don't know.
You know, no.
Yeah, I
there's that there's, show. With
where
the,
they have like 18 kids or something.
I'm sure when you have that big, when your family is bigger than a football team, I think that's acceptable. Whoops, I lost Timmy. It's just.
We're expected to lose a couple throughout the years, right?
Yeah.
You go back to like nomadic mindset. Moving from place to place. If you lose a couple on the way, it's okay. You'll replace them later.
And that's what happens at Home Alone. That family is, like, huge.
Yeah, I don't know. Something about it just...
It's the youngest kid, though. And there was a missing... Someone was sitting in the seat on the airplane.
No. He's not the youngest kid. The kid that wets his bed is the youngest kid. Yeah.
Who cares about the kid who wets his bed?
I do! I don't know.
Why didn't they forget that kid? Who wants to bring a bed wetter on vacation? That seems like a hassle.
Bedwetters have to go on vacation too.
You're pro bedwetters here.
You're afraid of what that kid's going to do when he realizes he doesn't have parents around. Do you get what I'm getting at?
Just pee on everything?
No. He's going to move up to the next stage. He's going to go from number one to...
Number two?
Yeah. you don't want that.
Why do you think there's no parachute? Now's my time to shine. Why do you think the parents leave and automatically just starts crapping everywhere? It's just like a faucet. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Why do you think that he would evolve like a Pokemon? He goes from one to... I was like, what are you talking about? He's going to shift from number one to number two.
He evolves like a Pokemon.
He used poop attack. It was super effective. Wow. Jamie knows what I'm talking about. He was just playing Pokemon last week.
Oh my God.
Guilty.
We've officially left the Christmas realm in the stupid stuff, okay?
It was only a matter of time.
I can't be calm. No. I'm the master of the mechanical stuff! And I have to help you! You, the master of the stupid stuff!
Yeah.
Wow. Anyway, back on track.
Yeah, let's get back on track here.
Some of my favorite Christmas movies.
No more poop talk.
Yeah, no more. I can't believe we have to make that disclaimer. No more poop talk, guys. That's enough. Another one of my favorite Christmas movies is not really a Christmas movie. And no, I'm not going to say Die Hard, although that is one of my favorites. I'm going to say Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah, you love that movie.
As you remember, Halloween, I said it's one of my favorite Halloween movies. It's also one of my favorite Christmas movies.
You just sang about it.
I just sang about it earlier in the show. No, it's just one of those, it's a unique film that crosses holiday boundaries. It could be Halloween, it could be Christmas, because the whole movie is about them trying to take over the holiday of Christmas. The Halloween people trying to take over the holiday of Christmas. It's just, Tim Burton and Danny Elfman, just an amazing duo. Great music, great animation, interesting story. I just love the movie.
Well, you know what? Can I take that cue from you then? I'll go with Die Hard.
You'll go with Die Hard? All right.
I love Die Hard.
Gotta mention Die Hard.
And Die Hard 2. Die Hard 2 is a Christmas movie,
that's right,
too.
Die Hard 2, more Christmas cheer.
Yeah.
That was the subtitle,
Kick-Ass,
right?
Kick-Ass John McClane.
Kick-Ass John McClane.
More Christmaser.
More Christmaser. Die Hard 2, more Christmaser.
Yes, all right. But
ho, 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 I have a machine gun.
That's right. Hey, there you go. One of the biggest...
Yippee-ki-yay. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, you can't say the official one. But I love that movie. And, you know, each of those two movies takes place on Christmas. And Christmas is a theme in each of those movies.
It is, especially the first one. People, I just mentioned it to my younger cousin the other day, and they go, really? I was like, of course. Christmas is the main plot point in the first movie. You know, because John McClane's wife said, you know, come out to the West Coast to their Christmas party, have a good time, you know?
Yeah.
It was the whole purpose. It was...
Reunite as a family.
Yeah, it was like a central point to the plot. He wouldn't have gone out there if it wasn't Christmas.
And Hans Gruber wouldn't have attacked the building on any other day. He wanted it to be on Christmas where there'd be less security.
Exactly. So that movie would not function if it weren't for the Christmas holiday.
Yeah. I actually heard an interesting theory on this on Die Hard recently. Are you ready for this?
Okay.
So you understand protagonist, antagonist, right? I
mean, right, of course.
We have usually protagonist is usually like the good guy or whatever.
Right, the quote-unquote good guy. Although not always, yeah.
It's usually the villain, right?
Right.
There's a new theory of movies that says the protagonist is the doer of actions and is pushing the plot.
Okay.
And the antagonist is the guy trying to stop the plot.
That's actually a more accurate description of the two terms than good guy and bad guy.
If you view it like that, the roles are reversed in Die Hard. In Die Hard, Hans Gruber is actually the one pushing the plot forward with taking over the building. All right, what's the next step? Oh, we got to deal with the FBI agents. Oh, what's the next step?
That's interesting.
We
got to
deal with the vault. And all the while, who's stopping them? John McClane. John McClane is actually the antagonist in that movie.
That's interesting.
If you look at it through... that school of thought. It was something interesting. And we're talking about Die Hard. So.
Yeah. No, that was definitely interesting. Discussion for another time, though. But
yeah. Sorry I stuck it in through Christmas. But
No, it's all right. It's fascinating nonetheless. I'm an MFA student, Master of Fine Arts in Creative Writing. So that's like right up my alley in terms of like narrative development and character and whatnot. But anyway, as I said, discussion for another time. JB, let's get another movie from you. What's another classic Christmas movie?
Jim Carrey's The Grinch Who Stole Christmas.
Really?
Yes.
That came out of nowhere.
It did, didn't it?
It did. Is there any particular reason you picked it? I know it was on TV recently.
I like Jim Carrey. I don't know. I like the movie.
Yeah?
I haven't really seen it that much. Last time I saw it was a while ago, but I do like it. I do think it's definitely a movie worth watching over Christmas vacation.
Do you like the Who people? What are they called? The Whosits?
I have no idea what they're called.
Whoville?
Who's a jig of what?
Who's a jig of what? Is Bill Cosby now the Grinch?
Oh, I was going to go with Doc Brown.
You know? Oh, Doc Brown. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
1.21 gigawatts!
The Libyans!
The Libyans!
The Libyans!
Everybody gets Christmas except for the Libyans. We're just kidding. You can have Christmas if you want.
Yeah, go ahead. It's all right. On us.
It's on us. Whoa. Hold on there, Rich.
Right, Andre Johnson.
Yeah. We're trying to spread Christmas cheer here, guys. You know, damn it. I was about to...
I love how you're like, we're trying to spread Christmas cheer. I hate you all. Damn it.
I'm trying not to curse here. It's Christmas.
Yeah, I know. We're trying to keep the cursing to a minimum. Keep this light and family friendly for the holiday.
Motherfucking pterodactyl.
Well, the pterodactyl shouldn't have interrupted our Christmas.
Motherfucking pterodactyl.
It's all right. Every now and then we slip.
Yeah, we slip up. I know. It happens to the best of us.
Do you have another movie you want to mention?
Oh boy, there's just so many.
I'll go with,
go ahead. Go with another one while I think.
Elf.
Oh,
I love that one with Will Ferrell.
I didn't even think of that one.
That is, I think that's going to be a new classic. Like when we get old, like, you know, 20, 25 years, whatever, down the road.
Wow. Oh, there you go. Yeah, I agree. It's actually, I think an underrated Will Ferrell movie.
Yeah.
I think it's fun. Mm-hmm. I do.
And it's one of those movies that fits kids, but adults too. Like, there's some jokes that only adults will get and not the kids. So it works.
Yeah, exactly.
Those are the best kinds of movies.
They are, yeah. The movies where the parents taking the kids to see the movie are not disappointed themselves.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's another one off the top of my head.
Wow. Well, I mean, that's a lot of Christmas movies.
Yep, so get your DVR ready and your DVDs and get them ready.
Set them to record, yeah. Hopefully you own a few of these. They're good movies to own.
Yeah. And Mike already has a couple of them.
Yeah, I do. Elf is one that I should probably add to my collection. That's a good movie.
Mm-hmm. I like that one.
Oh, boy. But you know what? We mentioned one of our Christmas traditions is watching A Christmas Story every Christmas Eve, every Christmas Day. I'm pretty sure most... Americans do.
Yeah.
I'd say so. But I recently found a list of Christmas traditions that maybe not everybody knows about. I found some bizarre Christmas traditions from around the world.
Oh, wow.
I thought this might be interesting to share and just get your opinions on whether or not you'd be game for these Christmas traditions if you had the opportunity to partake in them.
The Libyans!
Unfortunately...
What do Libyans do?
I don't
the
think...
The Libyans!
I don't think there's one from Libya.
That's a shame.
The Libyans!
There's a lot of traditions from Europe, though, different places in Europe.
Okay, what do we have to start off with?
Well, why don't we just start off with our good friends, the Swedes, in a town called Gavle, Sweden. They build a gigantic Yule goat. So it's this gigantic goat that looks like it's made out of straw. And then they burn it down to the ground every single year for Christmas.
I'm going to Disneyland. Come and go to Disneyland, all you people living in Sweden.
Woo! That's how they do it.
Yeah, they like to party there. They build a gigantic goat. This goat is like 3 stories tall. And they burn it down to the ground.
I love this goat right now.
And that's probably what they're saying. They're probably saying, I love this goat right now. And then they set it on fire.
I love you. Here's fire.
What better way to show you love something than with fire? The warm embrace, the warm tingling embrace of
flames.
Of flames.
Let me set you on fire. That's how you like it.
The flaming passion for their goat. It's just so intense that it burns.
I love this goat right now.
As is mine. residents of... I wish I had looked up how to say these names. Residents of Osaka attend a radish radish sculpture nativity contest put on by farmers. So they make the nativity scene entirely out of radishes.
And they do this right next to the flaming goat.
It sounds like the goat is screaming because it's on fire. I'm never going to be able to make it past the first one, am I?
No.
It's just going to be about goats the entire episode.
That scream is from a goat.
It is. People don't know that, but that is literally a goat.
Yeah. So, all right, so what's the radishes?
So, this other place, Osaka, I hope that's how you say it, they attend a radish sculpture nativity contest. So they sculpt the nativity out of radishes, and this is put on by farmers. And I guess that's a tradition that they do. The picture I'm looking at is very elaborate. They have tons of radishes and radish carvings. It just seems like a very strange thing, doesn't it?
Yes. Radish expert Mike Costanzo on the case.
Oh, I didn't realize I was an expert. Well, you see, the body and the texture of these radishes is just perfect for capturing the subtlety of Joseph as he's standing above the manger over the baby Jesus. It's just perfect. I award this the blue ribbon.
Boy, Joseph is tasty.
What?
Joseph is tasty.
Joseph is tasty? Yeah. Baby Jesus, you're delicious. I'm gonna put some of you in my salad.
That's good luck, right?
That's good luck. If you sprinkle a little bit of baby Jesus in your salad, you'll have good luck for the coming year. It's not the... What am I trying to say? What are we trying to say?
Wow. All right. What's the next tradition? Besides radishes in my salad baby Jesus.
We're going to get away from baby Jesus radish and goats, and we're going to go to Austria, where Krampus, one of Santa's demonic sidekicks, runs wild through the city, abusing children who misbehaved.
Get back, demon!
So apparently, young men and women routinely drink and then run through the streets dressed as Krampus. That's Santa's demon sidekick.
Future is already here, so why don't we go get a beer?
That's what people in Austria are saying. So, yeah, they just run through the streets drunk, dressed like demons. And I guess they yell and shout at people. The folklore is that the Krampus character or person abuses children who have misbehaved. That's a little extreme, don't you think?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Get back, demon!
Yeah, hopefully Yeshman will help us.
Maybe.
Get back, demon!
Alright, what's the next one besides demons attacking children?
Well, this one, I know we've...
This is going to get weirder and weirder.
It does. I know we've mentioned Ukraine a couple of times in our odd news throughout the year. Well, apparently in Ukraine, people like to hide spider webs in their Christmas trees. And the family members hunt for them, and whoever finds it will have good luck. So there you go. Find the hidden spider web for good luck.
Do these spiders bite?
No, they're fake spiders, but that's really weird, don't you think? Why are spiders and spider webs associated with Christmas in the first place? I have no idea.
Wire beads.
Oh, very appropriate.
Maybe they play No Doubt.
I think that they probably should. This is a good song.
Yeah, I like this song. So, where is this?
It's in Ukraine.
Ukraine, get on that.
Good old Ukraine.
Oh, yes.
What's the line from Seinfeld? Ukraine not weak.
Ukraine came to you. Why don't they take your ball and smash it into pieces? Why don't they take your Gwen Stefani and do her?
Wow. All right, then. Wow. For a Christmas episode, we're getting raunchy.
Yeah, maybe we should...
We're burning goats. And eating baby Jesus and doing Gwen Stefani.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hey, I like Gwen Stefani.
Yeah, Gwen Stefani's nice.
There you go. Mike just totally avoided that. He did not want to have any part of that comment. Oh, yeah, she's not nice. Let's move on.
Well, because I know you capture everything that I say and you turn it into a stupid sound clip.
Oh,
no.
I just love that. Oh, yeah, she's nice.
Well, she is nice. Radical. All right then. So there's one. I love this one. I can't really say the official words of, this comes with a song. I can't say the official words because it uses a word that we can't use here on the podcast. But children in Barcelona take care of and then beat a character called Tio de Nadal. It's this log thing that has a face on it. And they ask it to poop out presents in a song. And the song goes, poop log, poop nuggets, hazelnuts, and cottage cheese. If you don't poop well, I'll hit you with a stick, poop log. Of course, I'm using poop for another word. You can fill in the blanks.
I thought I had already established no more poop talk.
Oh, yeah.
Good job, Mike. Jeez.
Well, it's a Christmas tradition, Rich. It's not my fault. We do listen to you people. Sometimes.
Yeah.
Only sometimes.
Jeez, Mike.
That was one of the times I didn't listen. Yeah. After balling, I go clubbing. Then I'm hugging.
Is that what you do? You club whatever?
I club Tio de Nadal. I hope that's not a real thing. And I ask it to poop out presents for me. That's really weird. Why is it pooping out presents?
What is it eating?
What do you produce that
kind of feces?
Very proper, Rich. Feces.
Yes, I said no more poop talk.
But feces talk is okay.
It sounds more fancy.
Fancy feces.
Okay. I think JB just got a sound clip of his own. Fancy feces.
Wow.
Is that like the cat food, fancy feces? That's what happens after they eat fancy feces. Fancy feces.
Oh, okay. That's what happens.
That's
afterwards.
What happens. Oh boy. But no, these poop logs. Yeah, I would.
Wow, Mike is doing his best to try and steer the course.
Okay, the feces logs. The feces logs. Yeah, I want to know what they eat. Like you said, I want to know what they eat to poop out those presents. What do you eat to leave behind a video game or a scarf or something? You know,
incredible. I don't know, man. That's nuts.
Well, we'll go to the opposite end of the spectrum, and we'll go with something nasty that you eat. Inhabitants of Greenland eat kiviak, the Inuit turducken. Kiviat is a traditional food composed of hundreds of auks, which are birds, I think, and they stuff them inside a seal carcass for 7 months, and during that time, they ferment, and then they open it up and they eat it. Doesn't that sound delicious?
7 months? Does it become like alcohol at that point?
I guess so. I just can't get past the fact that you're... I don't know. What do you want me to say?
That is a joke.
It says they ferment.
Yeah, it's excellent. This excellent ox, what? What is it, ox?
It's A-U-K-S, ox.
Oh, yes, this excellent ox wine, yes.
Yes. Ah, vintage year.
Vintage year.
You're the man now, dog.
I went John Connery in that a little bit.
I thought that you were going to go with another famous person whose name I can't remember. What?
Wow. What a transition from Mike.
Yes!
You could help me out of here. The guy that talks about the French champagne. I can't... Orson Welles.
Because naturally...
Orson Welles. Who am
I
saying?
Yeah.
Orson Welles? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Ah, the French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence.
Why did you want the Orson Welles clip?
Ferment alcohol.
Okay.
It makes more sense than Sean Connery.
It did in the context of whatever I was saying.
What? What were you saying?
I don't know. I feel drunk. Is that just you know me?
There's something in this water.
Yeah.
People listening are probably thinking, these guys have been drinking. We actually have not been.
Yeah, jeez.
I might have been.
You might have been. Oh, boy. Anyway, JB's like, wow, I picked a good night to be on the podcast.
Yeah. Hi, Bruno.
Hello.
Okay, Bruno's off in his own.
Well, I only JB's have one drunk. Hand to open up my water bottle.
He's monitoring that communications array.
Yeah, he's busy monitoring the communications array. He's pushing buttons and
I have no idea what I'm doing.
No.
Excellent. Keep up the good work. All right, what's the one on this list?
In the Netherlands, they celebrate a character called Sinterklaas. And his valet, Zwarte P.A., also known as Black Pete, they parade through the streets and give children presents. And this character looks very, very racist.
Okay.
This character has blackface painted all over him. I guess they just dance through the streets giving people presents. Crazy.
Okay.
Nothing. Wow. Incredible.
Is his old gimmick that he's black?
I don't know. I'm just going by this picture and the one line that this website has written down for
it. Jeez, at least the other one, the guy poops out presents. That was interesting.
Sorry. God. Okay. You want more pooping in Spain? In Catalan. I don't know how to say this word.
Chris Catan?
Chris Catan. In Catalan, they include a unique character in the nativity scene. They include a character called
Chris Catan.
Caganer. And this character is squatting and taking a poop. And they put him into the nativity scene.
Right next to Jesus.
Right next to Jesus. Right next to radish baby Jesus. Why are there so many Christmas things that have to do with poop?
Yeah, what list is this?
Is Elf on a Shelf on that Christmas thing like a normal thing?
No, there's nothing normal on this list.
No, there's no going back, Bruno.
There's no going back. Once you introduce baby Jesus radishes and pooping logs.
Yeah, we've hit that stage.
All right, here's one that's more normal. Maybe you've heard of it. All of us being of Italian descent here, instead of Santa Claus, in Italy, children are visited by the old witch La Befana. Now, apparently, La Befana was alive during Jesus' birth, but couldn't make it out to see the baby Jesus. So,
oh, come on!
I know, she couldn't make time for baby Jesus.
You had one job, La Befana!
She goes...
Where's your name, bitch? Where's your name?
Yeah, where were you?
As an act of penitence... I'll tell you where she is now. As an act of penitence, she goes around and gives candy to good children in Italy to make up for missing Jesus's birth.
Okay. All right. You're getting there. You have not redeemed yourself.
No? She's still in the doghouse?
Come on. You could have got a taxi or something.
A taxi in Jesus' times.
Yeah, sure.
Maybe a flock of taxis.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Something. Right.
Didn't she have a flying broomstick? You said she was a witch.
Oh! Oh! No!
Yeah, she has no excuse, I guess.
There you go.
Wow. JB just busted La Befana.
Where's your name, bitch? Where's your name, bitch? Where's your name?
Unbelievable. Well, another tradition from Italy is one that I think all of us at this table celebrate. The incredibly tasty seven fishes Christmas Eve dinner.
Yep.
Get out of here. That's insane.
What?
That's going to be a clip.
Wow. That was so excited.
Oh,
do you want to tell us about the seven fishes, JB? Since you seem so excited about it.
There's seven fishes.
All right. Well, that fucking sucked. Well, every Christmas Eve, I think you do it as well, Rich,
yeah.
Correct? Italian families usually prepare seven different types of fish for Christmas Eve dinner instead of, I guess, what do Americans have? Turkey or ham?
Yeah, ham or turkey.
They don't do anything on Christmas Eve.
Oh, they don't do anything on Christmas Eve?
Well, it depends on the families. Some do, some don't. But I know from a Irish in-law that he prefers red meat.
Well, it's
yeah, that means you're yeah, go ahead. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Hey, that gives us an excuse to cook meat in addition to the seven fishes.
She gets seven fishes and steak then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Woo! Wow. Hey, surf and turf.
Yeah, literally. Woo!
There you go. Wow.
Come on over to our house.
That must be a crazy night there. All that food. Oh, man.
Radical.
It is radical.
It is.
What types of fish does your mom cook, Rich?
We do shrimp, calamari, the cod.
Ooh, bacala.
Bacala.
Do you do it fried?
Yeah.
Bacala. That's delicious.
That's fun to say.
It is fun to say. Calamari, bacala.
Bacala. That's when you feel like you're on The Sopranos and you can like get away with anything, you know, that ends in a vowel.
Yeah.
Cabanetta, hey!
Cabanetta. pass me the glass of wino.
Vino.
And wine already ends in a vowel. Why did I have to add an O?
Yeah, what are you doing, Mike?
I'm drunk.
That's gonna be our excuse this whole episode. We're drunk.
Why didn't we think of that excuse in the first 41 episodes?
Because we're now actually drunk.
Because we're not. But do you do eel? Because my mom does eel. That's delicious.
No, I don't think we do eel.
Schmelz.
Yeah, we do schmelz.
Yeah.
Schmelz, not schmelz.
Schmelz.
Schmelz here. I go to the bathroom and get some presents.
Are you the poop log? I'm gonna get your present. Let me go to the bathroom real quick.
It's like prison all over again.
What? It's like
prison. Is there something you need to tell us, Rich?
No, I remember the stories we had of like the people hiding things up their
butt. I see where you're going with this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a pistol up my ass. There you go. I'm the poop log. I shouldn't have said that while you're drinking. Yeah, I got a pistol up my ass.
Yep, Mike is the poop log.
Thanks, guys.
All hail the poop log.
Yeah, I got a pistol up my ass. Oh my god. This has gone completely off the rails. You know what? We should add a Christmas tradition to the list. We should add the Crispy Noodle Podcast as a tradition. This will be the first year of the Crispy Noodle Podcast on in Christmas. So we can make a new tradition of acting crazy and talking about obscene things.
Yeah, and bring out this list every year.
And bring out this list every year.
The poop
relive the relive poop log 2013. Always remember. Never forget.
So wait, do the parents like videotape their kids like wishing for poop to come out of this, whatever the hell this is?
It's let me describe it. It's literally a log. Like picture a log. There's a piece of paper.
I know we're backtracking, but this is weird.
Here, you want to see it? There's a piece of paper taped to the front of the log with a face drawn on it, and it's got a blanket over it, like a hood or a cape, and it's got the smiley face. I guess kids just beat it with a stick, waiting for it to poop, but it's a log. It can't poop. No poop is coming out of the log.
I'm glad you're the doctor here, Mike.
Jeez. You asked for specifics. What do you want me to do?
Well, there you go. A list of weird Christmas traditions just in time for the Christmas episode and the poop talk episode.
The poop talk episode.
Of the Crispy Noodle.
That was good. I enjoyed myself very much. Now.
We had a good laugh. All right. Well, after that exhilarating Christmas tradition list, I think it's about time to take a break, relax a little bit, catch our breath, and come back with some amazing odd news. We have something special this time.
Yeah, we figured with 2013 coming to an end, we'll go over the best bits of the non-fortune cookie odd news of 2013. And boy, do we have a lot to choose from.
Yeah, we handpicked some of the best to maximize the laughing potential. And that's all coming up when we come back.
So don't go anywhere. The best of the non-fortune cookie odd news in 2013. First half of it's coming up. Don't go anywhere. This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast, Christmas edition.
Attention sports fans, collectors, hobbyists, and autograph seekers. Are you looking for the best in sports cards and collectibles? The only name you need to know is Carl's. That's right, Carl's Cards and Collectibles in Havertown, PA not only has the best collection of sports memorabilia, cards, game, used merchandise, and autograph signings with top professional athletes, he also does custom framing too. Go to carlscards.com or like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Carl's Cards. That's Carl's Cards and Collectibles, 22 West Eagle Road in Havertown, PA. Remember, Carl's, the only and best name in sports cards and collectibles.
Are you in the market for a quality used car? Have problems trusting fly-by-night used car dealerships? Check out Ken Nolan's Plymouth Meeting Auto Sales. Ken has been in business for almost 30 years, selling cars not only to people all over the Philadelphia area, but now worldwide thanks to our website at www.plymouthmeetingautosales.com. At Plymouth Meeting Auto Sales, we have cars for all size wallets, inexpensive cars under $3,000, to classic cars and even dump trucks. Stop on in. That's Plymouth Meeting Auto Sales, 1215 Ridge Pike, Conshohocken, PA, or call 610-828-4427.
Trash City Beads, the great bead store with the weird name.
selling beads and findings for over 25 years. Visit us online at TrashCity.com. Like us on Facebook at Trash City Beads. Unique beads, charms, crystals, and findings from all over the world at wholesale prices. No store, no showroom. We are online only. Visit us at TrashCity.com. Trash City Beads is your online source for the best beads on the planet. Remember the name, Trash City Beads.
It's time. Time to get really, really real with the man, the brand, the artist, Philadelphia's own Realism. The first hip-hop artist to release an album exclusively on innovative USB wristbands. The future of music just got real. Visit 4realism.com, that's the number 4, and also look for Realism on Facebook and Twitter. And get really, really real, and then tell them how you feel. Have you ever wanted to read a Hollywood biography that really goes deeper than just the headlines? A best-selling author has done exactly that. Guest of Totally Driven Radio, author Sarab Dutt has written the best-selling biographies on Oscar-nominated actor Mickey Rourke, teen heartthrob and star of The Lost Boys, Corey Haim, and has been commissioned to write the biography on Batman Forever star Val Kilmer. Check out these books, as well as his novel, The Pugilist's Son, whose proceeds are going to the Muhammad Ali Center. You can find these fine books on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, Waterstones, and of course, on iTunes.
On the first day of odd news, this podcast gave to you plenty of stories to review.
On the second day of odd news, the podcast gave to you two birthday brawls
and a plenty of stories to review. On the third day of odd news, this podcast gave to you three special guests,
two birthday brawls,
and plenty of stories to review.
On the fourth day of odd news, the podcast gave to you four detective skits,
three special guests,
two birthday brawls,
and plenty of stories to review. On the fifth day of odd news, this podcast gave to you five
soldiers, four detective skits,
three special guests,
two birthday brawls,
and plenty of stories to review.
On the sixth day of odd news, this podcast gave to you six odd animals.
I love this goat right now.
Five
soldiers, four detective skits,
three special guests,
two birthday brawls,
and plenty of stories to review.
Woo!
On the seventh day of odd news, this podcast gave to you seven weekly stories.
Six.
I love this goat right now.
Five
soldiers, four detective skits,
three special guests,
two birthday brawls,
and plenty of stories to review.
On the eighth day of odd news, the podcast gave to you eight magicians,
seven weekly stories,
six.
I love this goat right now.
Five
soldiers, four detective skits,
three special guests,
two birthday brawls,
and plenty of stories to review. Nine clubs of rich.
Sausage.
Four detective skits.
Three special. Wait, so I messed it up. You went the wrong way. We made it pretty far.
Should we just do all 12?
Yeah. How far? We made it up to 8.
We made it up to 8.
What?
Eight.
Woo! We did it. Up top.
Are you looking for high five?
Woo! Jeez, that's really tough.
That was tough.
It's tough to do it when you make your own lyrics and you're a little drunk. So, all right, whatever. Let's go down the list. The original song was lots of. If we made it all the way,
should we sing it without the music?
If we made it all the way, it would have been 12 lots of stupid crime.
It's just lots of stupid crime.
Yeah. Like what?
11 wacky weapons.
10 clips of Mikey.
Radical. 9 Flubs of Rich.
All right, so there you go. Great.
8 Bug-Eyed Chucks.
7 Weekly Stories.
6 Odd Animals.
I love this goat right now.
5 Sausage Clips.
Sausage!
4 Detective Skits.
3 Special Guests.
2 Birthday Brawls.
And plenty of stories to review. Of course, that means it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders and go to the bathroom because you're in for a hell of a ride.
Woo! So there you go. That was our tribute to all the odd news. We tried to see how far we could make it. We made it up to 8, I think.
We made it up to 8.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, it's really difficult because Rich doesn't have the music video in front of him, so he's doing it just on the fly. And, you know, I'm reading back and forth, and he's playing clips in between. And we're trying to keep it all together, and it just fell apart, unfortunately. Yeah. I was the one that messed up.
We made it as far as we could. 8, yeah. That's pretty far.
Yeah, considering we didn't rehearse.
No.
At all. I think this is the first time that you're reading the lyrics.
Yeah.
The last time I looked at them was like 3 days ago when I wrote them. Haven't read them since.
We should do this every year, see how far we can get.
What, on this song or different songs?
See how far we get each year.
Oh, God. That would be something interesting.
So next year our goal is 10. We need 10. To hit 10.
That's right, 10. That sounds like a good, even number. But I thought that was a good first effort. That was, of course, the 12 Days of Odd News in the style of 12 Days of Christmas. We don't have 12 actual odd news stories for you. We figured we'd do 5 of the best.
Yeah. Overall, this is going to end up being a top 10 of the weirdest odd news stories that came across my desk of 2013 and that I shared with everybody on the podcast. And we'll split it into 2 5 story segments. The first 5 on this podcast, the Christmas podcast, and the next 5 on the New Year's special next week. So
yeah,
it's going to be a good way to end the year.
Yeah, exactly. A good way to review everything we've heard about this year before we get ready to kick off 2014 with a bang.
Yeah. And looking back on 2013, we did have a whole bunch of stories that just needed our attention.
Yeah, you could pick out a highlight from every single episode of Odd News. Every single episode seems to have that one great story that just sticks with you.
Yeah. So without further ado, let's get to this week's 5 best stories from 2013 for the Christmas special. Should we launch right into the first one?
I think so. Our first one, of course, going with the Christmas theme, we have Venezuela's early Christmas.
All right, let's take it away. If you're the Venezuelan president, Nicolas Maduro, and you're sweating an upcoming vote, what do you think you should do to improve your chances to win the election coming up?
Probably not whatever this guy did.
That's probably a good answer.
If you start a story that way, odds are he did something horribly, horribly wrong.
Well, some say it isn't, but it is just weird.
Okay.
President Maduro, with a upcoming election coming up where it's a close race, he announced that November 1st is going to be early Christmas in Venezuela. Yeah!
Yeah! Merry Christmas, everyone! It's early! Can he do that? It's early! It's Christmas now! Because I say so. Feliz Navidad! Feliz Navidad! I can make Christmas whenever I want to. Because I'm insane and drunk with power. What gave him the right to change Christmas, damn it?
Maduro says that he's doing this because I want to see happiness for all people.
Well, how could you not vote for a guy that wants that?
President Maduro sealed the deal by lighting nativity lights at the presidential palace over the weekend.
He went all the way, didn't he?
Yeah, and says that workers in the country get bonuses and a couple of days off nearly a month before the actual date of Christmas.
My God, he's bribing the entire country with Christmas! He's bribing the people with Christmas! Do they not realize this?
Wow.
He's bribing them with a holiday. It's like if the president held us hostage, he's like, I'll let you have Christmas back if you only vote for me. Is he to have early New Year's Eve too? Early Thanksgiving.
We're going to drop the ball a week early, folks.
Christ, let's just have every holiday like 3 months early.
Hey, guess what tomorrow is?
4th of July.
Then why would they have 4th of July in Venezuela?
I don't know.
Wait a minute. I got an idea. Let's get Secretary of State Frank Costanzo on the case. How should we handle 4th of July?
Gonna choke him on
no
water.
Sausages. No sausages. No. No sausages. Sausages!
He's giving us, he's giving us the advance warning on it.
Oh my god, I'm done. I'm done. I just can't handle the thought of somebody just pushing all the holidays forward whenever he wants to. What else did he do?
Get ready for next week. It's Valentine's Day already. What? No, but this part is also true. Maduro is also going to create an official Deputy Ministry of Supreme Social Happiness.
What?
Praise the glorious leader.
What? That's ridiculous.
The person in charge of this ministry
is tasked
with coordinating missions of positivity and anti-poverty messages in the country.
What? Oh my god. That's just ridiculous. Oh, the god. Department of Happiness.
Deputy
it's
Ministry.
The dough.
Deputy Ministry of Supreme Social Happiness.
Supreme Social Happiness.
Praise the glorious leader.
Let's just throw some more words into that title while we're at it. Department of... What is it? The Department of the Ministry of the House of Representatives of the Supreme Social... What? What was this title?
Deputy Ministry of Supreme Social Happiness.
Really? Oh my gosh.
So, apparently it's good to live in Venezuela right now. It's Christmas! Oh my gosh.
They're just crazy over there. They're literally insane. How are the people going along with this?
It's Christmas! You know what? The stores are already advertising for Christmas at this point. You might as well just bump it up.
I'm sure there's probably Christmas songs on the radio already. If there aren't, there will be.
Especially like Feliz Navidad.
Could you imagine if you tried to do something like that in America? People would just go insane.
That and a Deputy Ministry of Supreme Social Happiness.
I want that job. That sounds awesome.
All right, and our next one, we're just going to call The Great Goat Escape, and it gave us this famous sound clip from Mike.
I love this goat right now.
So see if you can pick up on it.
All right, let's play the clip.
A goat that was possibly headed to the slaughterhouse made a daring and dangerous escape into Whoa. Traffic in a busy highway in New Jersey.
They make it sound like a James Bond thing. Dangerous and daring escape.
Jimmy Goat or something.
Jimmy Goat.
I'm James Goat.
Bah! The name's...
The name is Goat. James Goat.
I love a vodka martini.
Aww. Oh, God. You know it's late when you just start making animal noises. So how did it make this daring escape?
The sure-footed animal, it managed to evade 5 Jersey City police officers for almost 2 hours. Zigzagging across lanes of traffic on the Pulaski Skyway, causing traffic jams and a minor accident.
I love this goat right now.
The goat, which managed to come out of the incident uninjured, was dubbed Sky by police. Skyfall, Sky!
Oh, there you go!
Another James Bond reference, maybe. The goat had good reason to flee. According to news stations, the animal was tagged and likely to be on its way to the slaughterhouse. The feisty animal eventually tired out, allowing officers to surround it and wrap it up. Sky's luck has changed.
The brown horned creature was taken to the Humane Society in Jersey City and will eventually be transferred to a farm where it will live.
Well, there you go.
Well, hey, if this goat's got the balls to escape and then run around on the highway for 2 hours.
Yeah, unbelievable. five Jersey City police officers and for 2 hours causing traffic jams and a minor accident. Just running across the highway. That's what it was doing.
I don't think that's a goat.
That is a goat.
That is an actual
goat. That sound effect is a goat.
Oh my gosh.
So, Jersey City spokesman Stan Anson said that if it can survive running around the Palancy Skyway for 2 hours, it can live. That's what it was doing on the Skyway.
Let me tell you, if I'm a cop and I'm going up a goat against a goat that's screaming like that, I'm just going to back off and let it do whatever it wants to do.
You can cause whatever traffic jams you want to do.
That's just downright frightening. I never knew goats could scream like that until I saw those videos of the goats screaming. I can just picture a goat running down the highway screaming its head off. All right, and next up we have one of our first singing debuts, I think, with the infamous Flock of Taxis.
Oh, this is a nice heartwarming story, really.
Yeah.
Good feeling story
and,
here.
And it goes down in Crispy Noodle lore as one of our first singing moments. So let's take it away.
A fleet of 300 taxis came to the rescue at an airstrip in Peru by forming a chain with their headlights so that it lit a local airstrip for a rescue plane's emergency landing.
That's actually pretty cool.
Yeah. The small remote airstrip was not designed for nighttime flights, but three sick people had to go to a hospital after a gathering in Cantanamana, Peru, according to the Spanish language site El Comercio. Yeah, I'm aware. I know how to pronounce stuff.
I got
to
say, Rich, I'm very impressed that you even brought this article to the table, because I took Spanish and Italian with you.
I can read stuff.
You can read English.
Que te vas a ser pupita.
Yes. The town is Cantamana, Peru.
Cantamana, Peru.
Cantamana, Peru. And this news site is from the Spanish language site El Comercio.
Okay.
The taxis raced there in just 30 minutes after a radio call was made asking for assistance.
They got 300 taxis in 30 minutes?
That's pretty good.
They were all, like, right around that air. Well, I guess if it's an airstrip, maybe there's a lot of traffic there.
I guess they were, and they were all able to get there.
That's impressive.
As the Peruvian Times notes, if the plane could not land there, the only other access route that they could have had was to land the plane at another location where the nearest hospital would have been an 18-hour boat ride.
Oh, my gosh.
So
it's okay, Timmy. You'll be all right. Am I at the hospital? No, you got another 17 hours to go.
And we got to get on a boat.
We got to get on a boat. But I'm seasick. Oh my gosh. It's a good thing those taxis were there then. They all just like swarmed to a location, like a flock of, I don't know.
Flock of taxis.
A flock of taxis. Majestic taxis cruising down the highway.
You said
flock of taxis.
You said a flock. Well, this is a flock of taxis.
And I drove to the airport to land a plane so Timmy didn't die.
I walk up to the taxi. I never thought I'd meet a plane like you. Plane like you. With all the emergency that was going on, I never knew what would lie ahead. You had to land the plane.
And I drove to the airport so you could land the emergency plane so Timmy would live.
Yes.
Good night, everybody!
Yeah, good night, everybody!
Flock of Taxis.
Flock of Taxis. There you go.
Copyright the Crispy Noodle.
Copyright
Crispy 2013. I just want to say, if we ever learn how to play real instruments instead of rock band instruments, I want that to be our band name, Flock of Taxis. Look at those giant, majestic yellow vehicles. I don't know what else to say about that. Flock of Taxis. Yeah, I'm impressed they got 300 of them.
Yeah.
Really was a flock. I mean, that's a lot of taxis.
Out of the three people that needed to go to the hospital, a mother and her newborn baby had fully recovered and are living well.
Wow, so those cab drivers, man.
Saved their lives.
That's pretty awesome.
The flock of taxis.
The flock of taxis.
Saved their lives. All right, and that was a good one. I like that one. Everyone was safe in that one.
Yeah, just something heartwarming and light, you know, for the Christmas special. We're trying to keep all these stories relatively violence-free, right?
For the Christmas episode, yes. Right. But you know what? Sticking with that, why don't we get to the weird case of what I like to refer to as just the Balloon Man.
Ah, yes, the Balloon Man. One man reaching to the skies for his dreams.
Yes, it's an epic journey that everyone needs to hear. So
without further ado,
let's play this one, The Balloon Man. A 60-year-old man whose lifelong dream was to take flight in a lawn chair using helium-filled balloons tried to this Saturday, but his record didn't go quite as planned. His name is Joe Barbera, and he took off from his home on Saturday morning. He originally tried to go 268 miles, which would have been the record, and he wanted to land in Oregon. But instead, his contraption landed in a 40-foot tree in the middle of Gifford Pinchot National Forest.
Oh, no.
Barbera was able to radio for help, and a Skamania County search and rescue team had to locate him 24 miles deep into the forest.
Oh, my gosh.
Rescuers were able to bring him down safely. Barbera had planned to use an oxygen tank, but he had to ditch it with other equipment before the launch because it was too heavy with him aboard the balloons. There were a lot of defective balloons, and we were forced to get rid of everything that were just dead weight.
Oxygen. We don't need that.
That included his shoes, oxygen, his food, and some of the computer controllers.
So was he still planning to go 260 miles with no food or oxygen?
Yes.
Okay.
A fellow engineer, Kevin...
He wasn't going to make it anyway.
A fellow engineer, Kevin Cyrus, said, essentially, the craft was just stripped down to just Joe and his chair.
And he was still going to try and go 260 miles like that.
Yep. And Barbera took off...
He would have died.
Barbera took off with 80 balloons, rising to 21,000 feet above the ground, which is much higher than he anticipated.
Whoa, I didn't want to go this high.
So he had to pop some of the balloons on purpose, which led to his emergency tree landing.
It's just like completely ruined from the very start. He starts off by saying, oh, it's too heavy. I'm going to get rid of all my essential survival gear.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to fly up like quadruple the amount of feet that I intended. And then I'm going to pop my own balloons to get me down further, at which point I crash into a 40-foot tree in the middle of the forest.
Sounds like a good plan.
That sounds like an excellent plan.
Barbera and what he calls his, quote, redneck engineers.
Yeah, really.
Had been working on the lawn chair for over a month. He even cleared the project.
Wait, isn't it just a lawn chair with strings and balloons?
He even cleared this project with the Federal Aviation Administration.
Well, you have to.
Are you kidding me? Nobody said, like, hey, this was a bad idea. You might want to tone down this a little bit. No?
That's a really bad idea, sir. I don't care. I mean, that plan just seems doomed from the start. When you start an expedition by getting rid of your survival supplies,
that's usually not a good start.
It's usually not a good sign. That's like saying, I'm going to tackle Mount Everest, but I'm not going to bring a jacket.
The crew should have seen trouble coming. Because according to Kevin, Barbera's team had also tried an unmanned test balloon earlier this month and lost track of it.
Oh, God. That's horrible. Could you imagine if he was in the balloon and they lost track of it?
Oh, well, there goes... What was his name? Joe. There goes Joe.
Bring out Nick.
Who's next?
Next. Come on down on the Price is Right.
On the Balloon Price is
the
Right.
The Balloon Price is Right.
Yay!
In our first showcase, we have a lawn chair with balloons and no survival supplies. Rich, what is your bid?
$1.
$1.
Did I win?
And the actual showcase price is? I don't know.
You gotta have a price.
I don't know. How much do the long chairs cost?
$20.
$20. You win the showcase.
No, I don't want to win the showcase. Oh, nope. You won. You gotta won. Get on the balloon.
You gotta go up in the balloon. An all expenses paid trip to a forest.
20 miles deep into a forest.
You'll experience lush trees with lots of branches, small woodland creatures, and of course, horrible scratching branches.
Woo!
This can all be yours on The Price is Right.
There you go. Good job, Mike.
Thank you. I try. I think it's ridiculous how there's so many bad signs and they still decide to go through with it.
Yeah, Joe was like, no big whoop.
When they say they worked for months on their lawn chair, it makes it seem like there's like huge like rocket scientists building a contraption. It was a lawn chair with balloons tied to it.
Yeah.
What are you figuring out? Let's see. We got the string here. Yep, that's about it. What do you got to figure out?
Apparently
they said they worked for months or something like that.
Originally they had a container for his food, a container for his oxygen.
So it's a launcher with buckets on it.
It's got buckets on it.
I mean, come on. It's not that extravagant, I don't think.
It also had a GPS on it.
Oh, well that's where the planning came in.
But he decided to take, you know, the GPS away when it left.
We need to get rid of some of the weight. So I'm going to get rid of the oxygen, the food, the clothes, the GPS, and I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, that should work.
That should work. No, don't add more balloons. Get rid of your survival supplies.
All right, and boy, that one was a great one as well. But you know what? This one we had was pretty recently, but you know what? This just shows you that love conquers all things.
And you can find love anywhere, true love. This is one of my personal favorites. So many great moments in this story, something we like to refer to as Bruce the Ferris Wheel.
Take it away. And now for our next one, we would like to congratulate Linda DuCarmi and her husband, Bruce. So it's nice. They've had a lot of ups and downs in their 30-year relationship before they finally officially got hitched. And now that they're together, they can expect the ups and downs to continue because Bruce is actually a Ferris wheel.
What? What? This is so stupid.
Linda first...
Did her groom run away and she just married the first thing she saw? It just happened to be a Ferris wheel?
Linda first met...
You know, I thought it was odd that you didn't give a last name. I was like, oh, she's got a really long name. And he's like Bruce. Mechanical shark from Jaws.
Well, no, this is a mechanical Ferris wheel. Linda DuCarmi first met Bruce, whose real name is actually Skydiver, at...
Linda Skydiver.
It just flows right off the tongue.
Yeah. Is she taking the husband's name then? Is it Bruce Sky? Is Linda and Bruce Skydiver? Bruce and Linda Skydiver?
Linda DuCarmi first met Bruce at a carnival in 1982.
They sound like they bumped into each other.
It's a romantic story here, Mike.
Okay. Did they go on the Ferris wheel together?
Well, she says, when I went on the Ferris wheel, I got this weird feeling that I can't explain. My heart was pounding as we went up the platform and I got on the ride.
It's called a fear of heights, you idiot.
I felt like I was being taken for the ride of my life, she said to local newspapers.
Oh my God. It's called adrenaline. You're afraid of heights. You don't have to marry the Ferris wheel.
Things were looking grim though. In 1986, a storm knocked Bruce the Ferris wheel.
Is that like an equivalent for a heart attack for an amusement park ride?
In 1986, the storm knocked out Bruce the Ferris wheel out of commission, but luckily he got repairs, and Linda found him returning to his former glory back at the Carnival Pier. In the process, she literally decided to marry Bruce last year and then renewed their vows for a reality TV show. The vow renewal ceremony was conducted by a non-denominational priest who recently resigned from the Catholic Church over his role in marrying the two originally. The priest officially said in the ceremony, quote, "I tie you to flesh and steel."
That's like creepy. It sounds like some like satanic ritual. And now when flesh meets steel, you shall bond and become one. Doesn't it sound creepy? Just a little bit, maybe? No? Just me?
I'm barely going to get through this story.
Rich, you've barely said anything about this story so far.
Linda then said, quote, I, Linda, take you, Bruce, in this sacred marriage.
I just see her holding hands with a Ferris wheel. It's like, what is she... Where does the ring go? How does he carry her down the aisle? What's the honeymoon
they're
like?
Down the aisle.
This is so stupid. It's the best story I've ever heard in my entire life. They should make a, please, somebody make a movie out of this. Well, this is incredible.
Apparently this was shot for a reality TV show, so it might be coming to the air soon.
Wow. I gotta watch that. I'm really looking forward to it.
Linda Ducarne insists her feelings are sincere. Quote, I pledge to you my heart, my body, and my spirit. Bruce is my world, and I think about him constantly. It just completely feels right when I'm with Bruce.
And Bruce said nothing. Because he's a cold-hearted bastard? No, he's just a Ferris wheel. What were Bruce's vows? Did he recite any? Oh,
we
no?
We did it!
Bruce just blinked and rotated slowly.
We did it! We did it! We did it! Yay! Oh,
that's what he
I'm
said.
I'm gonna pass out. I'm gonna pass out. This is just too much.
Now, of course, legally, this is not binding.
No, really? You mean the Ferris wheel can't get benefits?
But for the record, the marriage is not legally binding. Florida law stipulates that both parties in a marriage must apply for a license in person. So therefore, it's physically impossible to get the Ferris wheel down to a government building.
I want
to
see her roll the Ferris wheel down to the building and be like, what now, bitches? What now?
Oh, God, don't challenge her. She might actually do that.
Here's my man, Bruce the Ferris wheel. Bruce the skydiver.
The real name of the Ferris wheel was originally the skydiver.
A dude steals another guy's bride, and then a girl marries a Ferris wheel. On the odd news.
That's right. Only on the non-fortune cookie odd news will you find these heartwarming stories of wedding and marriage. All right, and there you go. That is our first 5 out of the top 10 odd news stories of 2013.
What
oh
a blast.
Gosh.
What a year. Some of the best of all time, I think.
Yep, and we still got 5 more in our New Year's episode next week, so make sure you tune in next week to hear out the rest of what we think is the best of the best of the odd news of 2013.
Second Lieutenant Jake Jensen, West Point, graduate with honors. We're here because you're looking for the best of the best of the best, sir.
Your boy Captain America over here. The best of the best of the best, sir. With honors. He's just really excited and he has no clue why we're here.
Well, we do have a clue, and when all comes together, we'll have the top 10 of 2013 odd news stories. What's going on over there, Mike?
It seems like, well, we're supposed to get to our what have we learned, but I'm getting a call from my mom. Hold on. Mom? Slow down. You got arrested? Caroling? She said she was caroling too loud. And got arrested for disturbing the peace. Hey, are you serious? This isn't
a prank,
is it?
Oh, good. I'm about to join her. Let's go singing.
This isn't a prank, is it? Oh, my God. Are you serious? All right. Well, it looks like I got to go pick her up from Ambler Police Precinct or whatever it is.
The very tough Ambler Police Precinct.
The very tough Ambler Police. I gotta go deal with this. I'm sorry, guys. JB, are you going to be okay doing What Have We Learned? With bad boys, bad boys. Hey, this is my mom you're talking about here.
I wasn't singing too loud.
All right. Well, guys, I really gotta go. I gotta go.
You're really serious about
this. My mom just got arrested. We just talked about 7 fishes. She's gotta be here to cook the 7 fishes.
It's my mom too. How come she didn't call me?
Oh, I'm sorry, Jay. She just, I don't know why.
He's got a car.
I've got a car.
Oh, okay.
Well, all right. Well, enough excuses and delay. I gotta go, guys. I'm sorry. I gotta go. Goodbye.
All right. Well, Bruno, it's all right. You can stay here with me and we can finish out
the
podcast. Yeah.
We'll have great fun.
Yeah. So, Bruno, what's the top thing you like to do for fun?
I like to play football, and I like to play video games, and
I do cocaine
occasionally, you know, to spice up the mood a little bit.
Yeah.
Ho, ho, ho.
What is that?
Ho, ho, ho. Oh, ho. Oh, hello there. Merry Christmas. It's me, Santa Claus. I've come all the way down from the North Pole to visit my elves' favorite podcast, The Crispy Noodle. They talk about it all the time. And I decided to pay you guys a visit.
Did Mike leave the door open?
Yes. I walked in through the back door. I thought he left it open for me. Are you telling me he didn't?
Rich, call 911.
No, it's all right. It's all right. I'm jolly old Saint Nick. I'm Santa Claus. Ho, ho, ho. I'm saying ho, ho, ho. What more do you want?
You could be John Madden.
I could be John Madden. It's funny because the way that I sound is similar to the way Mikey does John Madden's voice. It's eerily similar. Yes. But I assure you, I am Santa Claus. Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas!
Say tough acting to acting for me.
Oh, I'm sorry, Little John. We don't have tough acting to acting at the North Pole because nothing ever goes wrong at the North Pole. There's no need for it.
Do you mind if I compare you to our Madden clips?
Oh, I would be delighted.
All right, now Santa, I want you to love Brett Favre.
Oh, I love everyone. I'm Santa Claus. Of course I love Brett Favre.
Brett Favre is one of those guys that when he's hot, he can really be hot.
Okay, now test number two. We need you to describe a bootleg, Santa.
Well, a bootleg is something that you stick into a boot, isn't it?
All right, whatever. Here's a map.
This is a bootleg. He wants to bootleg on the first down play. He bootlegged on the third down play. He bootlegged to the right. Then he comes right back with another bootleg. See, both backs go to the right. You see Hasselbeck bootlegs out here to his left.
You know, Santa's definition makes more sense than John Madden's definition.
Well, I pride myself on making sense. You have to make sense when you deal with lots of little boys and girls all year round. You have to be able to talk to them and explain to them the importance of being good every year in order to get gifts. Now, were you two boys, good little boys this year?
I'm a grown man.
Oh, excuse me. You're not Michael. Where is Michael?
He went to go pick up chicks or something.
I don't know. Something's wrong with his mom.
Oh.
Something's wrong with his mom. What happened?
She's been naughty.
There's been naughty people in this house? I find that hard to believe. This is a family-friendly podcast, isn't it?
You missed out, Santa. We were talking about poop logs before.
What is a poop log?
Apparently, little kids beat up a poop log and it poops out presents.
That's awful! I am shocked and appalled! And my voice is cracking because I'm so shocked and appalled. I might give you all lumps of coal for Christmas because I'm so shocked and appalled. And I can't say anything other than shocked and appalled right now.
Do you need a dictionary? I can pull out one for you, Santa. We are live right now.
We're live?
Yeah.
I was just stopping by for a visit. What's this microphone doing in front of me?
Santa, it's right in front of you.
I wasn't paying attention to this.
Do you need better glasses or something? You might want to...
Perhaps.
Do you need the frosters on your glasses?
They are quite frosty. I was just outside in the cold weather.
Boom, 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 boom. They just ran right at him. Yeah, he not only rambled, but he rumbled and stumbled.
I'm pretty sure you're John Madden right now.
What makes you say that, Richard?
You just... Richard?
Richard Liebig, I know all about you.
Yeah, what else do you know?
I know that you're Richard Liebig, and you run a podcast called the Crispy Noodle Podcast with your friend Michael Costanzo. If I know your full name, that must mean I know everything. I'm Santa Claus, of course.
Okay. Well, Santa, thank you for stopping by. I don't see any presents, so I don't know what you're doing.
Oh, it's not Christmas yet, Richard. Of course, this is the day before Christmas when you record. I decided to stop by before I went and delivered all my gifts to the good little boys and girls. But none for you. You can't be talking about feces logs in, at a time like this. It's just awful.
In my opinion, that sucked.
Oh, and such foul language! Such foul language on this podcast!
That wasn't me, that was Jim Mora!
But you decided to play it, Richard!
What's that?
It's not the... It wouldn't... What am I trying to say is that... What am I trying to say?
Well, perhaps you're just doing this to entertain people at a time when they need entertainment.
Well, that's pretty much it. I mean, our job here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast is to make sense of all the news stories and sports, entertainment, odd news, present it to you in a comedic way and an entertaining way so that, you know, you guys enjoy it. And that's what we do every week. And we've been doing it since March, February, actually.
It's February, actually.
Yeah. Do you know the extensive history of the
I'm Christmas Santa
Noodle?
Claus. I know everything.
Yes. What's my middle name?
Something that begins with a letter. But I do know this, Richard. I know that you boys have goodness in your hearts and that you're only trying to entertain people. You two, and Mikey when he gets back from picking up his mother from the police. I can't believe her. I always thought that she was a good girl. But nevertheless, you boys will get presents this year. Now, I must leave to go on my merry way to get along on my journey and deliver all the presents on time.
All right. Well, thank you, Santa, for stopping by.
Oh, you're very welcome, Richard. And John Bruno, a pleasure to meet you, too. And say Merry Christmas to Michael when he gets back.
Yeah, we'll do. I don't know where the hell he went, but we'll...
I'm sure he'll be back very soon. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'll just call my reindeer and be off on my way. On Slasher, on Pole Dancer, on Pansy and Clixon, on Space Rock and Winged Baby, on Dahmer and Bitchin. Dash away.
What was that last one?
Bitchin.
Bitchin?
Yes. Well, I let the fans vote on the reindeer. You should not listen to the fans. They,
okay.
Oh, enough of these shenanigans. I must be on my way. Goodbye. Goodbye. Merry Christmas. Ho, ho, ho.
Woo! Boy, you were not expecting that. Where are you, Bruno?
I do not like Santa very much.
Why not?
I don't know.
I think he'd be fun to have a drink with.
Oh my god, guys. I saw a crazy dude running down the street in a red suit. It's that time of year. I just got back. My mom's alright. Did I miss anything important?
Nope, not really.
No?
Apparently, Bruno still does cocaine.
Jesus, JB, I told you to lay off the cocaine.
Well, I think with Santa here, I think he taught us.
Santa?
Oh, whoops.
I forgot. You said nothing happened!
I forgot about that part.
What do you mean Santa was here?
Yeah.
What did he say?
Said he knew us or something? I don't know.
He said something about tough acting to acting.
Yeah.
What? I miss Santa.
He likes Brett Favre, apparently.
He likes Brett Favre. You had a whole conversation with him?
Yeah. You'll get a chance to interview him at some point.
I'm sure. To close out the show, to close out the show, we have one final song before we go. Actually, it's a song that my mom sang. I got my mom to sing a cappella. That means without music. She sang us "Have Yourself a Crispy Noodle Christmas,"
and it's kind of our fond farewell of the 2013 and everything we've done this past year as the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Yeah, just something a little nice for the fans. So. Let's listen to "Have Yourself a Crispy Noodle Christmas."
Have yourself a crispy noodle Christmas. Let us make it bright. From now on, your troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a crispy noodle Christmas. Listen to what news. From now on, our headlines will be winter blues. Here we are singing just for you, as we promised you before. Faith. us cheer you up as you cheer us up once more. Through the year, we've had a lot of laughs, doing it our way. Find the crispy noodle on iTunes, hit play, and have yourself a crispy noodle Christmas Day.
Oh, wow.
I see why your mom got arrested.
Yeah, she's... She was actually singing that around town, apparently, yeah.
Yeah, people were like, that's not a Christmas carol.
No, no.
What the hell's a crispy noodle?
They thought, well, what it really was, apparently she got busted for false advertising.
Oh.
Because they thought that she was giving out free crispy noodles, but it was really just our Christmas song.
All right, and with that, I think it's time we wrap up this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast, Christmas edition, isn't that right?
That's right. Closing out with a special Christmas song, God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen by Mannheim Steamroller.
Yeah, why not?
why not?
Mike has a very extensive Christmas collection.
Well, I wouldn't say extensive. I've got like 12 songs.
It's extensive.
It's extensive compared to yours?
Yeah.
Okay, then.
Well, this is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. If you want to find out more about the Crispy Noodle, go to the website, thecrispynoodle.com. Like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle, and follow us on Twitter at The Crispy Noodle.
That's right. You can also subscribe to us on YouTube, where you can get highlights of some of our greatest moments. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to us on iTunes, where you get the latest podcast downloaded straight to your phone, your computer, your tablet, completely for free. You can listen to it on the go, at work, at home, anywhere, any way you want to. The Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes.
That's right. And make sure to check out the Crispy Noodle Podcast on Wednesday nights on the Blog Talk Radio page of Totally Driven Entertainment. There you'll get your first crack at this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle. Essentially, it's a way to get your noodle extra crispy.
That's right. And if you want to follow us individually on Twitter, I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. Tweet us what you're doing for Christmas.
Yeah, we want to know.
Yeah. And we'll tweet you back. Why not?
Of course. Why not?
This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Mike, what a show. Mike did most of the planning for this show, so I want to give the props to Mike on this one.
Thank you. Well, you guys helped execute it perfectly, I might say. We had a few mess-ups, but that's the Crispy Noodle way.
Yeah.
That's the way we do things.
You don't know what's going to come out of left field.
Exactly. And thank you to JB for sitting in on this.
Yeah, Bruno!
And your input.
You're welcome. Our long-lost associate producer.
How'd you like it?
I loved it. I loved being with you guys today. It was great fun.
Aw, spreading the Christmas cheer. Everybody's feeling good.
Awesome. Merry Christmas, Bruno.
Merry Christmas.
And Merry Christmas to all of you, Noodle Nation.
Apparently Mike is Bruno now.
the question was directed towards me.
I wanted to say Merry Christmas too, and it just came out at the wrong time.
Sorry.
But Merry Christmas to all of you out there in Noodle Nation. We got a great episode coming up next week, don't we? Figure we should plug that now.
Yep. Our recap of 2013. Total recap.
Over
everything.
Can't wait for that. But for now, I'm Michael Costanzo.
I'm Rich Liebig. And seriously, guys, have a Merry Christmas. And we'll see you guys next week for our New Year's special.
See you guys and Merry Christmas.
Later!
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Yeah, but what is that? It's a major award.
A major award?
Shucks, I wouldn't know, Dad. It looks like a lamp.
Well, it's a lamp, you nincompoop, but it's a major award. I won it.
Yeah, I got a pistol up my ass.